broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
The disposal of the burial of Bin Laden's remains.
This is a country that was built by immigrants. This is a country that became a superpower.
There are times when my paralegal and I sit in this office.
It really is a great day for an awful lot of people who work.
Yeah, something like that.
World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And we are right now, of course, streaming live on our website, which is philhendryshow.com. This is Phil TV in HD. And we've been on since 8 o'clock, as a matter of fact, Pacific time. It is 10 o'clock, 10.06 on the West Coast, Pacific Daylight Time. We've been on since 8 Pacific Daylight Time. And I've just been holding forth here at the El Pacifico, talking about what happened yesterday. Momentous day, obviously, in the history of this country, in the history of I hate to put it so corny, in the history of crime fighting, because really what you're talking about is just a massive operation against a criminal enterprise. We're going to be talking a lot about it tonight, probably in the next few days. And one of the things, for those of you who have Phil TV and HD on our website, I'm going to be doing a lot more interacting with you guys. Tonight it was just me rapping about what's happening, but we want to do some things that will interact with you more using our chat feature, using actually our unofficial chat site there with Jason, as well as Twitter, as well as our website, our comment section. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Osama bin Laden caught and killed. We'll get into just about every angle surrounding this historic news, the mission, the burial at sea, and, of course, the critics. Donald Trump says he's decided in his mind to run for president. What did I tell you? What did I tell you?
Well, you don't know if he's serious.
I told you the guy's going to run for president. Some of these people, but it's, oh, this is just a big, excuse the pun, trumped up way of saying he wants to keep Celebrity Apprentice on the air. Are you putting me on? This guy is a businessman. He's not a clown. I don't know if he'd make a good president, but he ain't a clown. His hair is clownish. I'll give you that. His hair is like a wig.
And Bozo.
No, it ain't Bozo, but it's close. Anyway, plus the most useless college majors, Dave Oliva and Steve Bozell, join us. Dave Oliva joins us in just a moment. A student at L.A. Canyon College, a L.A. Law enforcement major, an L.A. Police Academy prospective L.A. Police Academy attendee is going to talk about the police aspect, policing this. Because when you look at Osama bin Laden, when you look at his lieutenants, when you look at this organization, what was it? It was a group of people wanted by the FBI. Yes, the FBI needed resources more than what they had. They needed the U.S. military. They needed a lot of things. But the fact of the matter is, what that guy did was a crime here in the United States. It was an act of war, I agree. But he was wanted by the FBI, and it did take, and it was outstanding work by all of our great intelligence people. Just outstanding. I don't think you can, you know, and I credit President Obama. I credit President Bush. I credit, as President Obama said, 9.5 years. 9.5 years of people working intelligence, working these little shards and these little scraps of intel, connecting one to the other. Just amazing work. Outstanding. Everybody should be very, very proud. Our number is 877-876-7445, 877-876-PHIL. Our affiliate spotlight tonight, the great city of Houston, KPRC, a great affiliate at 9:50 a.m. So grateful to have them there in Houston, KCNR at 14:60 a.m. in the beautiful city of Redding, California. Another affiliate, two great affiliates on the Phil Hendry Show radio network. And again, 877-876-PHIL. Dave Oliva is going to join us here, and we're going to talk briefly. And again, it's unusual, perhaps, point of view, but we're going to talk a little bit here about, we got Dave on the line. Dave, I want to talk about the police aspect. You are going to be attending L.A. Police Academy, correct?
That's correct, yes, sir.
And right now you're taking what?
Right now I'm taking law enforcement, taking criminal justice at L.A. Canyon College.
Okay. Now, this is a military action that took out Osama bin Laden. But what led up to it, certainly what led up to it, was what we call intelligence work, or the work of our intelligence services, but it is police work, isn't it?
Well, I think in many ways, yes, sir, it is police work, and you know, because when you are the work of a detective, you know, is like the same that they do of in the CIA or in the Defense Intelligence Agency. What they're doing is they're asking questions, you know, you knock on a door, you say to someone, do you know who this is? Do you know who that is? Do you? And you show people pictures, and the CIA and people like that, they don't, I mean, they're not literally going to a door and knocking on it and saying, hey, have you seen, they're not going to stand there, you know, with a picture of Osama bin Laden and go, excuse me, have you seen this guy in the neighborhood, you know, but...
No, I know that.
But it's the same process, you know, this is who we're looking for, you know who it is, we're trying to find him, and we're trying to, you know, we're trying to track him down because of breaking the law, you know. And so there's a great deal of police work involved. In fact, to be honest with you, it probably, you know, is a little bit of overkill the way the military handles things. I looked at this yesterday.
Well, I was going to ask you. I mean, you're not a police officer; you're still in school. But just as a young man who's looking forward to that career, and it is this was a military operation yesterday. But how did you see it? Obviously, a great success, right?
Well, I think yes and no. I think it was a great success from the standpoint that none of our soldiers were killed, that they were able to terminate the target, that they was able to, you know, extract the target's body, to get the necessary identification of the target, to confirm the identification, and that was the important point, I think, of was to terminate. But here's the thing that I think was kind of bad. They should have taken him alive. They should have taken him alive.
Why do you say that?
First of all, you're going to have a lot of people not even believing, you know, that it's him. And then you're going to have a lot of people who are going to say, you know, hey, he went out like, you know, like a fire. Just a lot of just baloney, you know, just he went out.
Well, give me an example. What do you mean? So they should have taken him alive. Why?
I believe they should have taken him alive because he's going to have like a martyr's legendary status. People are going to think about Osama bin Laden, you know, like taking on U.S. Special Forces and everything. And
well, he hid behind a woman. I mean, this is what we're hearing.
Well, yeah, but then you're going to have people saying they made that up to make him look like just a, you know, just a, I don't want to say the P word, you know, but like a sissy or something, you know.
And so what you're saying is that they made up the fact that he hid behind a woman as part of a new narrative that he's a coward.
I think so. I mean, it's possible. I don't know that they did that, but it's possible people are going to think that. And I think if you got him alive, I think you would have been having a much better chance, you know, I guess. I think they could have done better, you know, because look.
Well, how much better can you do? I want you to be specific. You say get him alive.
Yes, sir. First of all, I think they should have used more police-type tactic. They went in without... Do you know, Mr. Henry, how many soldiers they had?
I believe they had 24.
Okay, that's way too... in my... You know, just what I know about it, that's way too many. That's way too many. They should have only gone in...
Well, what do you mean, what that's way too many? What does that mean? Now, I know that you're a novice, and so you're giving me an opinion... So when you say what you know about it, what does that mean?
Well, I'm just telling you that if they went in with 24 soldiers, if the special forces go in with 24, man, that's way too many.
And well, why?
Because that's what happened. They had to kill bin Laden, and here's why. When you have that many soldiers, everybody is looking to neutralize the target, or at least to get to the target and then to read him his Miranda rights. That's the other thing that, you know, they're not going to do. They're not going to read no Miranda rights or anything like that. So everyone's got an itchy trigger finger, if you will. And so the chances of him getting shot and killed are way, way more. And the chances of other guys getting shot and killed are way, way more, too. If it had been me, if I had planned this operation, I think most people who would plan an operation like this, I would go in with no more than 4 or 5 guys.
Four or five guys. 4 guys going into a foreign country.
Well, you do have support staff, you know.
Where are you in the... First of all, Dave, you know, I'm glad that you're giving me your opinion, but how do you get off judging the United States SEALs?
Well, I mean, let's be honest. You know, the SEALs are not police officers. The SEALs are a combat unit. Okay.
Yeah, but don't you feel right now a little unpatriotic saying that these guys?
No, I don't. I'm not being unpatriotic. I mean, I love my country, you know.
But no, what I'm saying is, don't you feel a little unpatriotic criticizing the SEALs and saying, well, they should have gone in and done this, that, and something else? And can't we just go ahead and tell them that they did a good job?
I would like to tell them they did a good job, you know, but I can't.
But don't you, can you not just give it up for the SEALs and say, hey, you know, nice job?
You know, if you want me to, Mr. Henry, I'll say that, but it won't be honest. You know,
you think they did a bad job?
No, I don't think it wasn't a bad job. It's just that it could have been done more better, like in terms of taking him alive. You give me, I mean, not right now, but you give me police officers with training, and you give me four or five police officers, we can clear, look at the average LAPD can clear a house. Four or five police officers can clear a house. You know,
police, are you talking about police, regular police officers? Regular?
Yeah, I'm talking about police.
All right, that, using service revolvers. So four or five police officers, LAPD.
Well, not necessarily LAPD. I'm talking about an Elite trained unit that I could train or any police officer could train, that we could go in, we could clear, you know, what they call, we could search and clear each room, then go in, search and clear each room, then go in, and we keep go. Until finally there's Bin Laden, and what you do then is Mirandize him.
What are you going to Mirandize a guy that's in? Understand something. These guys are in Pakistan, okay? Pakistan.
Osama, first of all, the fact that he died, Mr. Henry, it's a screw-up.
Hold on. They're in Pakistan. How are they going to Mirandize a guy? And you call this a screw-up? This is exactly what they said the mission was. Either get the guy or kill him.
If you got a chance to get him, then why don't you get him? And I didn't want to have to come on your program and say that this is a foul-up, but the whole thing's a big foul-up. You know, if you look...
The whole thing's a big foul-up, huh? You got all over America, people are celebrating what these young men, these fighting men, these Special Forces guys did. Okay? How you can come on here and say, and you're not even an official police officer yet, and say that the thing is a screw-up.
I'm saying that from the standpoint of being a police officer. Okay? Now, you want me on your program? I'm going to tell you the truth. Can you handle the truth? You know, like the movie? Huh? I'm saying to you, this is a four or five police officers could go in there. They could search and clear. They could go room to room, Mirandize. And
these guys have got service revolvers, man.
Not necessarily SWAT. You could use SWAT team, but I would hope not to use SWAT team. I would hope to just use the standard patrol officers.
Standard cops out of cop cars with service revolvers are going to take on Osama bin Laden and the most likely the automatic weapons that his guys use. And you think that you'd get it done with four cops?
Think about it, Mr. Henry. What are cops used to doing? Clearing houses, going in, Mirandize, you know, clean it up, clear it out. We're way better at cleaning up and clearing out, you know, and that's all I'm saying, you know, and I knew that it would probably be controversial, but I had to say it because I think that what the Navy SEALs did was good, but let's be honest, it was kind of, it messed up, you know.
Well, your opinion's not very qualified, young man. And
well, you had me on your program.
You know, to talk about your training as a police officer, to talk about police methods, but not to sit there and tell me that the SEALs screwed up and that you think four patrol officers with service revolvers could have done a better job.
They would have taken him alive, yes, sir.
They would have taken him alive with automatic weapons.
No, my guys would have service revolvers. They'd be up against automatic weapons, yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay. 877, and I didn't get a chance to ask him how well the cops did with service revolvers against those dudes that robbed the bank in North Hollywood. 877-876-PHIL. Dave Oliva is on the line. He calls the mission by the Navy SEALs a screw-up. He claims he could have done better. Is that patriotic? I mean, here we are talking about radio for patriots by patriots. Is it fair? Who does he think he is? 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be right back.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Look, Dave, you can talk about being a police officer. I know you're a prospective police officer. What you've done here, though, is you've said that the SEALs, and I'd like you to just back it up, the SEALs, this was a screw-up, as they say in the military, was a foul-up.
Well, I'm just saying to you, if they could have taken him alive, I think that they should have. If they did not, which they did not do, then yes, I think you have to qualify it and you have to say that's a screw-up. You know,
it's a screw-up, huh? So killing bin Laden wasn't good enough.
I personally, what I'm trying to say to you is I could have taken him. I could have taken him, and I could have taken him with a...
You're not even a police officer yet. You are a student.
Well, what I'm saying is, with the proper training, had I the proper training, and with, you know, once I get out of... What I'm saying, basically, is once I get out of L.A. Police Academy, and...
Once you get out of L.A. Police Academy, you're going to be qualified enough to go and take down a guy like bin Laden.
Well, I think so, sir.
All right, you know what? Tell me how you're going to do this with four cops using handguns, using their service revolvers. Now, how many shots do they have?
Nine.
They have nine shots in a service revolver?
Yes, sir.
And then they have extra clips?
Yes, sir.
And you're telling me that if a Los Angeles police officer trained by you, right?
Trained by me once I've gone through the academy, and then I would outline my own training. Because right now, you know, I've seen reports that they went in running room to room, going up, trying to find people, everything like this, okay? Well, that's fine. But all that does is makes a lot of noise as they're going up and going, hey, 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 hey. Police officers are trained to say, police, you know, we're here. I mean, you're not going no place, so we don't have to make a movie out of this, you know? And I think the military tries to make a movie out of it, you know? And
what do you mean make a movie out of it? Are you talking about all the gear that they have? See, these guys are in a foreign country.
Well, let me just, hold on, Mr. Ryan, let me just... Because, you know, I know what I'm talking about. You don't, you know.
And I want you to tell me, and I'm going to take a phone call, and you can even think about it if you want to. I want you to tell me how a police officer with a service revolver is going to do a better job than a SEAL.
Because he has the element of surprise, because he is used to community relations. And
community relations. So he's going to talk to bin Laden?
He's going to talk to the people that are with him and to bin Laden, too, and to say, you know... There's no way for you to, like, get away. So...
All right. 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL. Let me just get a phone call here. We've got Ben on in Tampa. Ben, you're on with Dave Oliva. You're on with... God, Ben, I am telling you. Go ahead, Ben. You're on with Dave Oliva as we talk here about the SEALs and the operation to kill bin Laden.
Yeah, well, I think the SEALs did a bang-up job, and I don't see how four police officers could have done what the SEAL teams did. Especially,
well, I mean, if you're just talking about killing a guy, then the SEALs did a good job. But I'm talking about extracting him alive and then taking him to, you know, the interrogation area, you know, to interrogate and further to, you know, ask questions, everything like this. If you want to just kill him, you could take the Navy SEALs, go in. Those guys are trained to, I don't know, you know, do all kinds of movie stunts and everything. And
what do you call it, movie stunts? You know, you're talking about the SEALs like there's some kind of nothing group.
I'm not saying that, but I mean, you know, if I'm talking about taking... Yeah, go ahead, sir.
If I may ask you, okay.
Yes, sir.
When you go into a multi-room building, now I'm an ex-special ops soldier.
Yes, sir.
I've done house clearing. When you go into a multi-room, you have no idea how many combatants you're going up against.
Well, that's
okay.
True,
they had
that's true.
When the SEALs went into that building, they had no idea if they were going to run into
I don't know if that's the case. I don't know if that's the case because they had eyes on the ground. A police officer, on the other hand, never knows. But the SEALs have way better intelligence than a police officer is going to have, and yet police officer,
What are you talking about? The SEALs have way... The SEALs, how do they know?
They had people looking at the building, man. The cop doesn't. The cop's going to pull up and go, okay, you know, I'm rolling to the scene. I don't know what's up.
And a lot of cops die that way, too, don't they? Do they call for backup?
Of course they do.
Well, what backup are the SEALs going to call for? All they got are each other.
I would like to ask one more question, and I'll let it go. Okay?
Go ahead, sir.
Like I said, I'm an ex-special ops soldier, and I think basically, I think you're full of mud, okay, to keep
well,
it
I mean,
clean.
You know.
But
I
why
agree.
Why do most police and sheriff's departments want on their SWAT teams and their special operations teams, why do they want retired Army Rangers, Navy?
You guys never get the job done. You can't even finish a phone call, man.
I'll decide that.
Good.
Call the Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
World famous Phil Henry Show here, radio for Patriots by Patriots, as we continue to walk over top of the heads of people who think they've got the answers, and all they have the answer for is how quick we can send this great country of ours straight down the crapper. Well, we ain't going to let it happen. And an outstanding job done yesterday by our special forces, by our intelligence service, by our president, by our all of the people involved in bringing this man, Bin Laden, to the bar of universal justice, which is standing before the good Lord himself. And that's where he was sent yesterday. And again, we applaud not just people in the Obama administration, but of the Bush administration. John Brennan, if you saw the press conference today, John Brennan has been at it, in his words, for 15 years. So that goes back to the days of Bill Clinton as well. John Brennan called it one of the gutsiest decisions that he's ever seen a president make. Our number is 877-876-PHIL.
Mr. Henry, I wanted to ask you a question. I hope I'm not interrupting.
Go ahead.
My understanding is you are a conservative, and you're just now said, you know, Obama done, you know, good and everything, which I guess is okay. I mean, I believe that, you know, he's done good in this particular way, but I think, again, you're talking about how he didn't use the assets the way that I think you can. And I think the way that he, you know, should have used the assets, in my opinion, was to use fewer men, moving, if you've ever, do you know anything about, like, how to use a gun or anything?
Yes, a little bit.
All right, well, the police use a standard military-style stance, you know, where you have two hands on the weapon going room to room. You always check your blind spots. And then you engage the target. You know, Mirandize them if you can.
You're not going to Mirandize a guy in Pakistan. Why would you Mirandize Bin Laden?
You haven't heard about, oh, boy, I guess you ain't heard about Eric Holder and everything that he's trying to do.
You know, I wouldn't give a crap about Eric Holder. These are soldiers who have one job and one job alone. Would you like to surrender? No. Okay, bye. Bang. You're dead. You're dead, man. You're a felon on the run. You've been running. You have been a fugitive from justice since at least the middle of the 1990s. You have committed murder during that fugitive run. You're everything and anything but, you know, a guy you want to Mirandize. That's a cat that you give him the option to surrender, and if he doesn't, you kill him. Here is Mark in Anchorage, Alaska. Hi, Mark. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Dave Oliva. Go ahead.
Hey, I just wanted to
yes,
ask,
sir, go ahead.
You know, how would he know anything about that kind of a situation if he's never been in combat and he's never been overseas? I mean, how can you claim to have that kind of knowledge
you have to
if
be,
you can't do it?
I don't think you have to be overseas to know what is just common sense, you know? Like, why would you need to have 24 guys to get one guy when police do this kind of operation every day? I don't know if you're familiar with police work, but a lot of times you're called out to, let's say, it's a party or something, or a domestic dispute. And
a domestic dispute is not the same as a wanted, an international fugitive that has used explosives, he's used automatic weapons, he's used airplanes loaded with fuel. This guy has committed murder on a mass scale.
Again, Mr. Henry, please let me finish, you know, because I know Mr. Henry hasn't been in combat, and he's
well. Maybe not. No, but if you pay attention to the pictures that were in the news articles, they show you the size of the compound. Four policemen are not going to take that size of a compound.
Well, no, but they didn't have to take that size of the compound because Bin Laden was upstairs in one of the bedrooms. I don't know what he's doing, but he's.
So you're telling me the policemen are just going to walk through all the other armed guards and hope that they're all going to just put down their weapons peacefully and tell them to go away. I don't think it works that way.
Well, sir, I understand, but I think if you approach it like you've been called to the residence and there was, like, noise or something, and you ask to see, you know...
What are you talking about? Are you saying four Pakistan cops?
I'm not even saying... It could be four... It could be a police operation is what I'm trying to say.
So you knock on the door and you say, oh, we had noise?
You knock on the door and you ask to see the residents, you know, what's going on. Because the last thing they want to do is, like, shoot a cop.
I'm pretty sure those residents you're talking about were all his hired cohorts, and they were all ready to kill him.
Wait a second, man. Are you telling me that Bin Laden is willing to sacrifice his very comfortable situation there? Like, no, the neighbors didn't know he was there, nothing. He's going to kill a cop right on his front doorstep and blow the whole thing? I don't think so.
It didn't stop him from flying a plane into a couple buildings.
What's that?
I said it didn't stop him from flying a couple planes into a couple buildings.
Yeah, I know, but he's living in Pakistan. He's kicking it in Ben Baba's Bob or whatever the name of the town is. And all of a sudden he's going, oh, I think I'm tired of being, you know, peaceful. I think I'll kill a cop and bring, you know, the world of hurt down on me. I don't think so.
Wait a minute.
You know, there were air marshals on those planes, and they still got sacrifices of every one of the other victims on those planes.
Well, I don't know what you're... I don't think you're following me. I'm saying about Bin Laden... You know, if you Mirandize Bin Laden...
You can't Mirandize a guy who is not an American citizen. I don't care what Eric Holder wants to do. Thanks very much, sir, for your call. Mark in Anchorage, Alaska, here on the Phil Henry Show. This is insane to say that you're going to Mirandize Bin Laden. I don't know how you figure you're going to get that done.
Well, you do it, Mr. Henry, like I said. If you come to the front door of that house and you go, hey, I don't speak Paki, or however they talk it, you know.
Pakistani. I don't know what they... Maybe it's Hindu. I don't know what it is.
Hindu?
Yeah. Well, I don't know what the language is.
Is it Arabic or something?
No, it's not Arabic. It's Pakistani.
Okay, well, if you send the cops to the front door and go, excuse me, how you doing? Is everything okay? We had a call out here
So in other words, you're saying send cops on a normal house call like it's a domestic dispute or there's too loud music, but what they're ultimately going to do is arrest Bin Laden.
Yes, sir. And I don't think they gave that a chance. I think they thought, oh, we better go in with guns blazing and everything because it'll make a good movie script. You know, that's the thing about the SEALs, you know. I hear that they're good, but everything with them, they're all talking about how great they are. I mean, I just once what they ought to do is, like, try and do it, you know. I mean, all the SEALs, yeah, I'm a Navy SEAL. Okay, that's great. So what, you go in and blow up, like if you go to get a candy bar or something, do you blow the store up to get it?
That's ridiculous. No, that's the stupidest thing I ever heard. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Tommy in Tampa. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Tommy, go ahead.
Hey, listen, I just want to ask this fella here. Do you live in a bubble? John Travolta played in the movie. I mean, I did 22 years. I did 22 years in New York City as a cop. And I'm listening
to you.
You
know what I'm talking about then?
No. Listen to me. If I...
You'd be LAPD.
If I had a partner like you 22 years ago, I would have left the job. You are talking through your hat, fella. You have no idea what you're talking about, and you're wasting everybody's time. Mirandize who? Who are you going to Mirandize?
Bin Laden. You're going to Mirandize Bin Laden.
And he's going to stand there and let you Mirandize him and say, okay, take me. Come on. You're living in a bubble.
Once you have the weapon, if you've dropped the weapon on him, what's he going to do? Run away or something?
What police department are you going to?
I want to go to LAPD. LA Police Department,
I'll tell you,
I think is...
If LAPD takes you, we're in deep trouble. We really are. I'm sorry to say that, but I don't know. Nothing else to say.
I understand, sir, you were NYPD, which is slightly different. You know, NYPD is more close quarters. Like, it's all, like, I don't know what you call it. Do you drive cars there or you don't? You, like, walk... beats and everything, right?
No, Phil, I don't mean to cut. I'm done.
What is that? What kind of comment is that? Where you do you drive cars there?
Well, he said he was New York Police.
Right.
Well, I don't think he understands what I'm talking about because you pull up in a squad car.
They got police cars in New York.
What is somebody?
Well,
what are you talking about?
Thank you very much.
First of all, do you have motorcycle cops? I don't think so.
Yes, they do have motorcycle cops. They got motorcycle cops, they got police cars, they got it all.
Okay, well, I still don't think they're used to the same kind of wide-open, like, actually wide-open areas that L.A. is. And L.A. is very wide-open. So if you go to Pakistani or whatever that town the guy's in, it's going to be wide-open. That's number one. You need a place to park the car. You need a place to bring the bikes in. A New York police officer is not going to, they'll say, okay, bring the car. What do you mean car? I usually just walk to work.
Okay.
Where are you calling from right now?
Excuse, I'm calling from Monterey Park, California, sir.
In your house?
Yes, sir. Uh-huh.
In your house or in a jail cell? Where were you calling from?
I'm in my home, sir. I'm studying law enforcement at L.A. Canyon College, and I eventually want to be in L.A. Police Academy.
Well,
I'm not in jail.
Like I said to you, and Phil, I thank you very much, but if L.A. takes you, this country is in trouble. Okay? Thank you.
You haven't argued me down about how a New York cop walks to work.
What? They don't walk to work. They've got cars. They've got motorcycles. They patrol a city that is, yes, geographically different from Los Angeles or many other cities, and there are a lot more people in one area, like Manhattan Island. It doesn't mean they don't drive cars. Unbelievable. 877-876-PHIL. You understand the frustration of that officer?
Mr. Henry, I understand the frustration of a New York City police officer that just spoke with me, or a retired gentleman. I also want to say, as much as he did not like me or seemed to think that I was, I guess, I think he said I belonged in a jail cell or something.
He was stunned, as I am.
Well, you know what, Mr. Henry? I still give that man respect, and I still give him, you know, a tip of my hat. I mean, guys like that are my hero. He's been a long time, what police?
New York City.
Yeah, NYPD. And, I respect him, all the old guys, but, you know, he's old, and they don't do it like the old way. I mean, when he was a cop, it was legal to beat a guy up and stuff and, you know, and punch him and everything.
It's never been legal to beat up a suspect. It's never been legal to beat somebody up in police custody.
Yeah, but you know they did it.
877-876-PHIL. You know what? Maybe they did. Maybe, yeah, I'm sure that they did, and they should not have, and that was the way the police evolved in our society. Here is Fred. Fred, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Dave Oliva. Go ahead.
Hey, I'd like to ask our guest a question. He seems to feel that the police should have gone in, or maybe the Navy SEALs, and given Mr. UBL a chance to surrender and advise him of his rights under the Miranda decision. Is that correct, sir?
Yes, sir. I believe that would be the way that you could, you know, then take him to court and sue him, you know, for what he's done.
Sue him.
Okay.
Sue him. Go ahead.
Okay. I just wonder, can you tell us when it's necessary to advise someone of their rights under the Miranda decision?
Once you have them in custody and they've, like, you know, they're not fleed, they haven't fleed, or not fleed, but fleeing,
tried to flee the scene?
You know what I mean, right? Where they haven't fled.
No, I don't know what you mean, sir, and I don't think most of us do. And I'll tell you just a little point of law.
If he hasn't flown, I don't know the past tense to flee.
Okay, well, I'll tell you as a little point.
Did he flee or flown?
I'll share with you as a little point of law, as someone who spent 27 years in law enforcement, that you do not have to advise someone of their Miranda rights until you start to ask accusatory questions. Did you know that?
Well, yeah. I mean,
no, I don't think you knew that.
Well, you need to get him Mirandized if you're going to ask him. You know, you're pretty sure you're going to, like, are you Osama bin Laden?
You don't have to Mirandize a guy.
You question. That's general
information.
Yeah,
you don't have to Mirandize.
Well, but I mean, what I'm saying is, all I'm saying is, you can Mirandize him after you're sure he's not going to flee.
Well,
okay. And then another thing that you would do, once you have advised him, then you you extract, like, from everything.
You extract from everything.
Yes,
well, the SEALs did that with his body.
Well, see, that's what the whole thing I'm saying. I mean, the SEALs blew it. They blew it.
No, their orders were.
They blew it, huh?
Yeah. Okay. Their orders were.
Yeah.
To either capture him or kill him. He resisted arrest. They acted in self-defense. I am just aghast that you don't seem to understand that.
Are you saying
I have nothing more discuss with you, sir. And Mr. Henry, I thank you for the opportunity to allow
thank
me to
you.
Be on your show. Good night.
What about a taser?
What about a taser?
They didn't tase him. All over America, they're tasing all these turkeys and these scumbags get tased left and right. And here's the one guy that should have been tased. They didn't do it. How come? I'll tell you why. Because the SEALs are all about, you know, making a movie script and everything like this. And
you know, you've been bagging on the SEALs, man. What's the point of that? I don't like hearing that. You know, those guys risked their lives. Those cats were in a very, very tight and serious situation. Now, as I was saying on our pre-show, and I said yesterday when we did our special video cast, I remember, and some of us remember Iran in 1980 and what happened to those soldiers in the desert of Iran, and it was just the most disastrous, humiliating, and forget about the humiliation, it was the most heartbreaking thing to see those men die and to see the Iranians the next day desecrating their remains and the American soldiers that were able to get out humiliated and saddened and grief-stricken for the rest of their careers. And you're sitting there talking about the SEALs blew it because they didn't keep the guy alive? I'm glad our guys are alive. I don't give a damn about bin Laden. Do you think it would have been okay for one of the SEALs to die?
Well, Mr. Henry, I mean, I'm a, you know, I want to be a police officer of the LAPD. And if I had to give my life to make sure that we was able to get, like, let's say I had to give my life to make sure we was able to get Tukey Williamson.
Or to give your life to make sure we gave who?
Tukey Williamson? I'm sorry. Yep.
Tukey, the guy that... All right, we got to take a break. 877, if I had to give my life to make sure we got Tukey Williamson. 877-876-PHIL. We're talking here with Dave Olivai, who is an aspiring Los Angeles City police officer. He's saying that police tactics in apprehending Osama bin Laden would have been superior to what the SEALs did because they would have been able to Mirandize him. They would have taken him alive. They would have been able to talk their way into the house, pretending like it's a domestic call or someone's playing their music too loud. Can you imagine that?
What if they did?
Somebody's going to call from bin Laden's. They're going to call, hey, the bin Laden residents, man, they're having a party. The music's too loud. Those cats were so low key in that joint. Nobody knew they were in there. He claims that he could have done better than the U.S. Navy SEALs. We'll be back with more from Dave Oliva. Next hour is Stephen Bozell here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-7445. We'll be right back.
We can't fight Radio this fight Patriots. Alone. Give us a call, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Like if he had his dreams, he'd lead the way.
For more information on this and other great talk programs, go to talkradionetwork.com.
The people at Dynapep Energy wonder, how does Phil stay up all night? Well, the B answer would be, I'm an alien and do not require sleep. We did some research and found out Dynapep Microshot has good things for people who need to stay awake and alert. Dynapep is a microshot. 4 milliliters, less than a teaspoon. A shot, no sugar, no crash, no jitters, and only 2 calories. Dynapep. The first supercharged energy micro shot. Just a shot. It has AMAX for longer lasting explosive energy with no sugar, no crash, no jitters, and 2 calories. Dynapep Micro Energy Shot gets you through the night focused and alert or keeps you going all day. Dynapep lasts up to 10 hours with 10 times the power. We did some research. We found out that Dynapep Energy Micro Shot has good things for people who need to stay awake and alert. Get Dynapep Micro Energy Shot now at 7-Eleven. Rite Aid, Kmart, Duane Reade, Fred Meyers, Hess Express, and Big Y. Or log on to dynapep.com.
Jay Farner here with Quicken Loans. If you're like most Americans who move or refinance every 7 years, Quicken Loans has a program with an interest rate that's much lower than the current rate on a 30-year mortgage. That great low rate is locked for the first 7 years of your loan. It's called our 7-1 adjustable rate mortgage, and the rate today on this great program is an incredible 3.5%, APR 3.47%. That's right, it's locked in until the year 2018. After that, the rate may adjust once per year. Are you really willing to pay thousands of extra dollars in interest on a 30-year fixed for the next 84 months just to know what your rate will be on a mortgage you may not even have in the year 2018? I sure wouldn't. So give Quicken Loans a call today at 800-401-0027. That's 800-401-0027. Or go to QuickenLoans.com. Helping you get the right mortgage for your specific situation. One more way Quicken Loans is engineered to amaze.
Adjustable rate is subject to change. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. Nationwide licensing number 3030. Keep yourself feeling better longer with help from Nature's Youth, the anti-aging experts. Nature's Youth has more than 80 unique products targeted at reversing the effects of aging. And who doesn't want to feel better? Well, now you can. No, I mean right now. Call 800-333-6923 or visit naturesyouth.com and take a look at the many ways you can join thousands worldwide in the quest for a better, healthier life. Look younger, lose weight, build your immune system, and get more energy. And can I recommend a personal favorite? Nature's Youth RSF. It's an all-natural amino acid supplement that supports your body to naturally increase HGH levels without any synthetic hormones. Elevated HGH levels may contribute to increased energy, improved libido, reduced body fat, improved exercise capacity, and improved immune system functions. Well, my work here is done. A better you is waiting, and you deserve it. Call 800-333-6923. That's 800-333-6923. Or visit naturesyouth.com.
Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
World famous Phil Henry Show, talking with Dave Oliva. Dave is a student at L.A. Canyon College. He is taking criminal justice and law enforcement. He's also hoping to enter the Los Angeles Police Academy upon his graduation with his double A, his Associated Arts degree. Once you graduate from the L.A. Police Academy, you'll become a Los Angeles police officer, Dave. Are you planning on completing your four-year education?
Well, I'm sorry, Mr. Henry, if you could say that again, I was having a difficult time.
I was saying, once you finish your associate arts degree, are you going to plan on going and get your 4-year?
I'm hoping to get my 4-year, but, you know, I don't know. I want to get right at it. You know, I want to get right to it. There's a lot that needs to be done. Again, looking at this operation yesterday with the SEALs and the Delta team, there's a lot they did right. There's a lot they did wrong. And there's a lot that, you know, that we need to, and there's a lot that I've got to, you know, look at and assess and give my report on.
That you're going to give a report on. You aren't even a police officer yet, and you're going to assess what these guys did. That's the part that's just driving me nuts. 877-876-PHIL is the number. And we're going to go over here to Don. Don is in Greensboro. Hey, Don, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Dave Oliva.
Yes, I have a couple questions. This gentleman has no experience yet. I'm an honorable Marine. I find it offensive that he's trying to talk the Navy SEALs down when those guys are out there giving him a choice and a chance to have an opinion. And yet, he has no experience or anything to back it up.
Well, here's the thing. See, the SEALs are good. They're good, but they're not great.
And, why do you say they're not great?
Oh boy.
I think they are great. Well, why do you say they're not great?
Because they didn't take him alive, you know? They
That wasn't the objective.
They blowed his head off.
Comparing apples to oranges, though. You're talking police work. We're talking combat. There's no OJT in combat situation. So you can't go there and read Miranda, right? You're in another country. They don't understand that. He has the right to remain silent? Yeah, he's remaining silent now. The objective was to kill him or to bring him back alive, whichever came first. He opened fire. He was a hostage.
Well, I don't know.
To try to be a body
shield. We come in on him. Yeah, he's going to open fire, but you could wing him. You know,
what do you mean, wing him? What is that supposed to mean?
You could wing him and make him drop his weapon or something, you know? And then go, I mean, I'm just trying to come up with ideas because it would have been better if we'd have taken him alive and then you could have waterboarded him and got more information, you know?
That's illegal. First of all, he was shooting to kill.
He was what?
He was shooting to kill. He wasn't shooting to wound. So it wasn't about. It's not a point thing they were doing. They were seriously trying to kill something. He was trying to kill them.
Well, no, I'm not talking about. Phil. We could have winged. We could have winged the team. Is what I'm trying to say. I mean, okay.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
This idea of disposing the body...
He was engaged in a firefight with those that entered the area of the house.
This is a country that was built by immigrants. This is a country that became
There are times when my paralegal and I sit in this office...
Stop crying, you sniveling ass! Stop
your nonsense.
World famous Phil Henry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Where truth is our bitch and where we go through the looking glass and beyond, taking you places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. And right ahead we go, right over the tops of those soft heads that want to just pull this country, pull it back, pull it down. Pull your pants up before you try pulling anybody down, okay? Anyway, welcome to our program, 877-876-PHIL. We're going to be continuing this hour talking about the events of yesterday as they unfolded. I can't believe that I sat here, and we'll get more into it in our news and information hour, but I can't believe I sat here, and it was just last night. It was just last night here on the West Coast that I sat and I looked up at the news, and I had spent the afternoon. I had just returned from Hollywood where I'd been on a panel on Saturday, and I look up and I see that the president is going to address the country. And I'm thinking, well, I wonder what that's about. Is it something to do with Gaddafi? Is it something to do with the, with the economy? And then there it is. Bin Laden is dead. Osama bin Laden is dead. And I knew that they wouldn't put that on the screen there, and the president would not be coming out to address the country if it hadn't been verified and it wasn't true. And then I got the news that not only was he dead, It was an American force that killed him, and that we had extracted, as they say in the business, the body, that Americans had the body. So it was like one of those just unbelievable things. You wanted all of that stuff to happen, and it did happen. Osama bin Laden, his death was called a good day for America. We're going to have Steve Bozell in here in just a moment to talk a little bit more about this. Will you turn that off, bud? We don't need that, okay?
That'd be cool to hear again.
I don't want to hear Daniel Day-Lewis again. I want to hear something that's a little bit more cogent, as we like to say. Late Sunday evening, President Obama announced the death of Osama bin Laden. Here is this him? No, this is not him. This is Brennan, number one Brennan. Is it number one Obama? Okay, here we go.
Tonight, I can report to the American people and to the world that the United States has conducted an operation that killed Osama bin Laden, the leader of al-Qaeda, and a terrorist who's responsible for the murder of thousands of innocent men, women, and children. Last August, after years of painstaking work by our intelligence community, I was briefed on a possible lead to bin Laden. It was far from certain, and it took many months to run this thread to ground. I met repeatedly with my national security team as we developed more information about the possibility that we had located bin Laden hiding within a compound deep inside Pakistan.
All right, we're going to get more into this audio from the president and probably do it next hour. Right now we have Stephen Bozell on the line from Corona, California. Mr. Bozell is a construction contractor and, like so many Americans, just an average American, heard this announcement last night. And I saw people in Times Square. I saw people in front of the White House. Mr. Bozell, where were you?
I was in my home, and I saw the news, and I was, just as you were, Mr. Henry, I was sitting in my living room, and I saw the news that we had finished up with dinner, and my children had gone to finish up a little bit of homework. They'd gone upstairs, and my wife was, I believe she was on the phone with her mother at the time, and I saw it come across the news, and I think I made a sound of joy, you know, a whoop or a holler or something, and the kids come downstairs. I said that this Osama bin Laden, they found him and they killed him, and I couldn't believe it. I got on the phone with a couple of guys I work with, and my wife then, we had some dessert and just sat and couldn't stop watching the TV and everything, and this morning we talked about it with the kids, and I was very excited, and was thrilled by the news, and so it was surprising when I got to work that I got the call from my daughter's school, which is CK Corona, and Ms. Lawrence, who is the headmistress there, the principal there, had asked me to come in.
You were asked to come into your daughter's school at what time today?
It was about 10 o'clock in the morning.
At 10 o'clock this morning, why?
Well, as I mentioned to you, and you had been talking to your audience, Mr. Henry, it was one of those days you know, yesterday that I felt very good, and I think a lot of people felt very good about what had happened, and I showed it to my daughter, and I showed it to my kids too, you know, and I told them that that it was good that Bin Laden, they killed him, and so when I got the call from the school, I went in, I talked to this Miss Lawrence, who said that I was directed to my daughter is in sixth grade in the middle school, and it was there that I was expected, and I'd gotten the wrong information. I came down to see her, and she told me that she wanted to talk to me, but she didn't want to talk to me until I reported to the class. And so I went down to my daughter's class.
Well, what happened? Well, I don't understand. You were
well. I was told to go to the school because my daughter had mentioned to them that I had been overly joyous or something in the way that I had reacted to Bin Laden.
And your daughter had reported this.
Yes, sir. My daughter goes to CK Corona, and they they're involved in at this particular juncture in her school year and in the current events, and they also have a curriculum that teaches the children to be good citizens, not only of the United States, but to be good citizens of the world. And my daughter felt that it was something that she needed to mention to her teacher.
And what do you mean? I'm having. Why did she have to mention that you were overly enthusiastic or happy that Bin Laden was dead?
Because it basically runs afoul of what they teach. The children at CK Corona. They teach the children at CK Corona, and particularly the death of Bin Laden, not something to be celebrated. That this morning, in fact, they had talked to the kids that Osama Bin Laden was it was wrong to be celebrating a man who was dead. And Martin Luther King said, they don't celebrate the death of your enemy because that makes you dislike him.
Oh, are you telling me then, in other words, that the school is telling this, the children this?
Yes, sir. And I was upset with it myself. I didn't think it was right. And I, when they had called me in, but after I had stood in front of the kids in the middle school, then I realized that they did have a good point, and that's primarily what I wanted to say.
Hold on for a minute here. We're talking with Stephen Bozell. Corona, California. How old are you, Steve? You don't mind me asking?
Yes, sir. I'm 39.
You're 39 years old. You own your own business. You have a wife, right?
Yes, sir.
And you have a son as well as a daughter?
That's correct, yes.
Does your son go to this school?
Yeah, my son, Steve Jr., is in the elementary school.
All right, and congratulations on your family.
Thank you.
But you reacted the way millions of Americans reacted. You were happy. And I was happy, and I was glad, and I didn't care that they killed the son of a gun, and I didn't care if they'd captured him and waterboarded his ass. I would have been happy. And so you react this way, and you are called to your daughter's school. Now, I've never heard of such a thing.
Well, you have to understand, Mr. Henry, I think it'd help if, I appreciate it, but you need to know that this school is a very good school. It's one of the best public schools in the country. They teach the kids to be, how do you say, citizens of the world, and to not be reactionary. They tell the children not to be, they say, a reactionary pig or to be a pig. And
a pig? What do they call a pig?
Well, they talk about the pigs, not a pig, but in my daughter's class, they talk about a pig being a member of they like war, and they don't like peace, and so.
Well, is your daughter taught patriotism? Is she taught about?
Well, if you just let me finish, Mr. Henry, because I've got two. I want to talk to you. My daughter is here as well, and she's listening to the broadcast. I want to make sure that I,
Your daughter is there?
Yes, sir.
Well, I'd like to say something to her.
Well, if you could hold on for just a minute, I'd appreciate that, because I want you to know, and I want your audience to know, I appreciate you helping me. My daughter, I love her very much, as any father would. I'm very proud of her, and what they told me in the school today, Mr. Henry, that it does make a lot of sense. I was very happy to know that Osama bin Laden had died. You know, they killed him. But I found, in speaking to Bradley, and I talked to Deanna, I talked to Bernadette, I talked to my own daughter,
And who are these people?
Well, these are the students that I talked to in my daughter's class. Bradley is a young man, but very intelligent, and he was the one who had told me that I was behaving like a pig.
These kids are 12 years old, Mr. Bozell, and the idea of a child calling a man a pig...
Well, you don't even... Hold on. You don't understand.
The idea of a child calling a man a pig, especially the day after something momentous like this has happened. What did this class... What is this teacher teaching these kids?
Hold on, Mr. Andrew, please. You see, there are people... you need to understand. I don't believe that Bin Laden... should have been killed. I agree with my children, my daughter in particular now. I didn't agree last night, but I do agree now. I think that it was wrong for me to celebrate. It was wrong for me to stand and go, yay, and what everything. You know, I'm a little emotional tonight.
What all did you do, sir? I mean...
I got the flag out, and I put the flag this morning. I put it up in the front of the house. I never fly the flag at night because you don't fly the flag in the dark.
Of course.
Yeah, we don't have any uplights, so I made a decision last night. First thing this morning, I'd go out and I'd put our beautiful American flag up. But so I did. And my daughter came home from school and took it down, as I know she should. We have to be mindful and respectful of all human life.
And wait! You let your daughter take the flag down?
I did only because my daughter wanted to make the statement that I was not respectful of human life, saying going yay when Bin Laden when it was announced that we killed him,
and you let your daughter take the flag down that you put up in front of the house. Why?
Well, I think I explained that.
No, sir, you did not.
Well, because the flag that I had put out in front of the house was representative of my joy at the death of a man, and my daughter and Bradley and some of the other kids came from the school directly and took possession of the flag and.
Your daughter gave away your flag to who?
To the other children.
Sir, this is political correctness run amok. This is a school that is teaching the children not to have any respect for the flag, not to have any respect for the American, the life of the nation, not to have any respect for the citizens of this country, that a cold-blooded murderer who is killed after a 10-year manhunt somehow, that's a sad thing when this guy... the thing that's killing me is that you have changed your opinion based upon some classroom confrontation.
Well, it was not a confrontation. I went to the class, and the children told me that I had been wrong. I keep mentioning this one young boy named Bradley, who was the one that told me that I was acting like a pig. He used the pig word, and I was offended. And
how old is this kid?
He's 12, sir, but let me finish, Mr. Andre.
Boy.
He's 12, sir, yes, but Bradley told me that I was a reactionary pig for laughing and cheering when a man died, and he said that to be respectful of human life and a citizen of the world, I need to feel bad that Bin Laden died, and that's when they decided to come and take possession of the house. I had told them that I put the flag up, and they told me that they'd be... at the house that afternoon, this afternoon.
And they took the flag down?
Yes, sir.
How? And these are 12-year-old kids?
Yes, sir.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. You ready for this? This is almost as insane as when, after 9/11, they told those firefighters they couldn't fly the flag from their trucks. This is Mr. Stephen Bozell, who was exuberant and joyful and celebratory after the announcement of the death of Bin Laden last night. But this morning, he was called to his daughter's school and told by the school and the students that respect for human life is what they teach. They teach the children that it was wrong to celebrate a man's death. They teach the children that it was wrong to be joyous on the occasion of Mr. Bin Laden's demise. And some of the students took possession of his American flag this afternoon. What is it with these schools, man? What's wrong with citizenship? What's wrong with patriotism? What's wrong with giving kids a good, cold, hard dose of reality that we're a great country, but it's not necessarily a great world? 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Your call's next for our guest, Steve Bozell from Corona, California, in a moment of the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Yeah, I'm going to get coffee.
call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show at 877-876-7445. We're talking here with Stephen Bozell from Corona, California. Most of us yesterday celebrated the death of Osama bin Laden, the announced death of Osama bin Laden. Mr. Bozell did the same thing. At your daughter's school this morning, they were told that this is not something to celebrate. Is that correct, sir?
Yes, sir. That was my understanding.
All right. And I saw similar comments, by the way, on Twitter. I saw a couple of comments, one from the comedian Penn Jillette. He was quoting Martin Luther King as if Penn Jillette, you know, as if Penn Jillette reads Martin Luther King. Probably he does, but yeah, somehow I just don't think of him as the intellect that's got Martin Luther King's words on the tip of his tongue. And then, of course, Michael Moore was—he was dead set on making sure everyone was bummed out, pissed off, and upset that Bin Laden had been killed. Is that the sense you were getting?
Well, no, sir, because as I said, yeah, I understand my daughter's class and the thing that you know that they were saying. You know, I was like you, I think, probably at the beginning. And I said to my daughter, you know, don't you think it's good that Bin Laden's dead? And that's when I was called to the school, and I went down to the class. The students, Bradley, and I mentioned Deanna, a couple of the other students, said that I was westernized and that I was talking more of a nationalistic point of view. But
do you see that this school has some kind of political correct speech that they want the children, you know?
No, sir. You're wrong. Please understand two things. I love my daughter very much. My daughter is in the room right now listening to what we're talking about. She's going to be going to her school tomorrow to talk to them, and I'm hoping that what my daughter hears tonight, she can go to the school and say, and she wants to go to the school and say to my father's, you know, I'm proud of my father. And if...
Well, I don't, you know...
I'm just asking you not to ask me questions that are going to... I guess to put it crudely, piss off Mrs. Lawrence or piss off Bradley or any of these kids, right?
Well, I don't care about pissing off Bradley. He's a 12-year-old kid. Our number is 877-876-7445. Stephen Bozell's daughter, his school called him to campus where he was called, among other things, a pig by, and I don't know, sir, to me, I don't know why you didn't defend yourself more by these students, because he was happy that Bin Laden was dead. Here is Jeremy in Abilene, Texas. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Jeremy, go ahead, please.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to say to you, sir, that if you don't realize it, you might look into it. The Hitler started indoctrinating children back whenever he was taking over his little escapade he pulled. And it's been happening since Lyndon B. Johnson. I've done a lot of research, and I'm involved in several groups, sir.
Yes, sir.
I believe you might look into it yourself.
What group are you in, sir?
Them children in that class. Say what?
What group is you in? I could look into.
It's actually a Tea Party movement.
Yes, sir. I'm familiar with Tea Party. I've been active in the American Way for one. Yes, sir.
I also believe that you were wrong for agreeing with them children, because what they're teaching in schools and universities is not correct.
Yes, sir. Well, my daughter is here, and she's asking me to tell you that one of the problems I'm having is my daughter is listening to the show, and I want her to listen to it, but she's asked me to tell you that you're wrong.
Wait a minute.
Well,
I don't want
wrong,
your daughter.
Sir.
Your daughter's not on the show, sir. It's you and this caller.
I understand that, but my daughter heard this gentleman, Jeremy, and she said that he's... I just didn't want to piss her off, you know what I mean? I'm just trying to...
Guess what, sir? This is not a time to be in the non-piss-off mood. I don't really understand why anybody would get mad about being honest with the way things should be and not the way things should be. They want things to be in our school district.
They want, on the way that they shouldn't be.
You know what I mean?
To me... Well, I do, but they said to me the way it's supposed to be is, and I just don't, I love my daughter, you know, and she just wants to make sure that I'm not being happy about a man dying. I don't know.
Well, tell you what, why don't you hold on, Jeremy?
Jeremy,
hold the line. Hold the line, Jeremy, and we'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show. We also have Steve Bozell.
Phil Henry.
I'm just trying to, I don't want to be pissed off.
877-876-PHIL, I know.
What?
Call the Patriot Hotline now. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Radio for Patriots by Patriots, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, as we continue here with Mr. Stephen Bozell of Corona, California. Mr. Bozell's school, his daughter's school, CK Corona, which is a public school and considered to be one of the best in the country. The sixth grade class there had him standing in front of them this morning and basically lecturing him, 12-year-old kids lecturing him, on why he should not celebrate the death of Osama bin Laden. And what I'm trying to figure out here, sir, is how do 12-year-old kids, I understand the school asked you to come down there, but how is it that you stand there for 12-year-old kids, and I'm going to bring Jeremy back on because I promised to give him just a couple more minutes. How is it that you stand there and take it from these kids?
Well, once they told me what they were trying to say, and that was that, you know, my nationalist mindset is really for more like a pig. I know you don't like the word, but it's more for a pig. And they told me I was a pig. I had then said to the teacher,
how can you stand there and hear a 12-year-old kid call you a pig?
Because, understand, my daughter and my son are the two most important things in the world to me, and if it means that they'll, you know, will be my, you know, that they'll love me, and if I'm a global citizen and I'm unselfish, I give back to society. And
that's
and
the
I'm
reason
here.
We have problems, because you're being a global citizen. That's the problem with our government. They want us to be global citizens. That ain't
what's wrong with being a global citizen. That's the whole way the world's going. You got to be a global citizen. Otherwise, what are you going to be?
An American citizen. How about that?
Citizen. How about that?
Well,
you like American citizens? We can do that, can't we?
Yeah. Why can't we do Why can't we do global? You want to be American? Might as well be global.
No, not might as well be global, because the world is.
I wasn't born global. I was born American, and
Weren't you born on a global basis, though? You were global in the way that you were born,
sir.
What does that? What does that mean?
The people over in China have a day of the week that can drive their car. That's the global way. You want to be told that you can only drive your car on Tuesday and Thursday, and that's it? The rest of the time you got to walk to work. That's the global way. We don't want the global way.
I don't think that that you should be talking, because down in the South, my understanding, because I was raised in Tennessee, we can't drink booze on certain days. You know, you're not allowed to. Why can't I buy a drink on a Sunday? See, so same kind of a deal.
Well, that's not the guy. That's more religiously inspired. That's an old kind of religious community inspiration. That's not the government.
Well, I mean, same difference. I can't even have me a beer on Super Bowl Sunday. That's something basically un-American about that. When you say that, and here my daughter, this Bradley kid, you should have heard him. I know he called me a pig.
He's a 12-year-old kid.
What happened on 9/11 2001? What happened that day, and who was responsible, in part at least, by that?
Global citizenship would have made it okay, you know?
Oh, come on, man. If we'd been better global citizens, it never would have happened, huh?
Yes, sir. That's my
feeling. That's not correct. If we were Muslims, we might agree with that, but, sir, I'm 100% Christian, and God. I believe in one God.
You think it's right as a Christian to dance and sing and go, yay, when a man gets killed? I don't.
Oh, okay. Get out of here, man. You were doing it until your daughter's class called you in and told you that you were a quote-unquote pig. Thank you very much, Jeremy, for your caller. Number 877-876-PHIL, weren't you? You were dancing and you were singing.
Yeah, yes, I was. And when I was called in by C.K. Corona, especially I talked to Miss Lawrence, and she said, my understanding is she said that April Jr. told us that you were laughing and carrying on about how bin Laden died. And she said at that moment, she said that she was personally disgusted. The school, of course, was disgusted and would have to put it down. And I've never had anyone tell me that before in my life.
You know something? There's nothing wrong with you, Mr. Bozell. There's something wrong with these adults that you're dealing with and these kids. Telling you that you're disgusting because you celebrated the death of Osama bin Laden, they're sick in the head. Those people are messed up. Do you understand? You're not.
Well, I think you're wrong, Mr. Henry, because my daughter just now told me to ask you to apologize.
I'm not apologizing for anything, sir, and I'll tell you something else. I don't like the fact that your daughter is standing there.
Hold on for a minute. What? My daughter is insisting.
Hey, you tell your daughter
that I'm an adult and I will speak the way I wish and I'm talking to another adult. And that, you know, I shouldn't have to tell you these things, man. She's your daughter. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Sharon in Fresno, California. Go ahead, Sharon.
Thank you so much. I am a teacher. I'm a mother. I'm a grandmother. I teach special ed, and on 9/11, I was
My daughter doesn't want to talk to a teacher.
Guess
Excuse
what?
Me,
your
Mr.
daughter needs to understand that adults have... there should be a level of respect and reverence to adults. Yes, there should be an issue regarding sanctity of human life, but when an evil force has happened that's destroyed human beings for no apparent reason, there is something that needs to be taught to the children, and there's probably litigation that can happen with the school, basically. Like having a working adult come in and have a roast in front of the children, I don't get that.
It wasn't a roast, ma'am. Well, they basically said to me that I was wrong to be celebrating. My daughter, by the way, when you were talking, was making a mouth flapping with her hand, which I thought was, I told her she shouldn't do that.
And you know what? Your daughter's got no respect for adults.
I could have written her up three times in the last 5 minutes just listening in. It sounds as though, you know, I've read this book, Tough Love, and it's a really good book, and it teaches us that sometimes our kids don't have to like us. But if we're teaching them values and we're teaching them a way to be
again.
So that there's a level of respect for adults,
hand.
I think something's
yes,
missing.
Ma'am. She's doing the same thing now with the hand. She's going blah, blah like that.
That is so,
why don't you?
I want to say disrespectful, and I can't speak to that because you're the dad. And it's your
problem. I am, ma'am.
You know,
well, you know why don't you tell your daughter not to do that?
My daughter has a constitutional right to her freedom of the speech, okay?
No, you are an adult man. You are, sir,
I've got
to tell you, Mr. Bozo.
No, yes, she is a minor, but all I was saying to the lady and to you, Mr. Andrew, is when Obama died and I was dancing and singing, my daughter was disgusted with it and told me I was disgusting. And when I went to the school and Ms. Lawrence had me in front of the sixth graders, the kids basically told me how disgusting I was and how wrong it all seems.
Do you get that that's inappropriate? For an adult to be grilled by the children. I mean, yes, they have. Maybe they could do it in the form of a letter, but to have. Well, it sounds humiliating to me, and I'm sad that
yes.
that happened for you because there are thousands of people in this country who lost loved ones in 9/11 and people in other countries whose family members have died at the hand of some evil forces. And I can't see.
My daughter wants to know where you teach school.
I
teach at a public school, and I went to a private school, and my sons went to private schools, and they were taught...
The name of the public school you teach at?
No, do not tell anybody where you teach, okay?
No,
Sharon, don't do that.
The point is that your daughter sounds a very progressive, and this is, it's for sixth grade.
Would you talk to us, Steve, and not to your daughter?
My daughter wanted to know why I wouldn't give her the name of the school, and I told her that this lady won't tell me.
Your daughter had better back off, sir, or you know what I think I'll do? I'm going to hang up with you, but then the next day, tomorrow, I'm going to pay a visit. You and I will talk to you at your place of business.
Is that a threat?
No, it's not a threat. I'd like to sit down and talk to you.
Well, my daughter, she just said to me she'll have to be there. So...
Your daughter will have to be there in on the conversation.
At any meeting that I have with Mr. Henry, yes.
Well, you know, it sounds like your daughter's calling the shot, sir, and it makes me sad because I really want to empower you to get to a place where you can teach her about some of the history. Many people suffered and died for the freedoms that we experience right now. And there are thousands and thousands of servicemen protecting our borders and then protecting democracy.
My daughter said to me, if you could wrap it up while we're still young.
You know what? Your daughter's a smart ass.
Now she's wanting me to reel it in, huh? You know? See, I hear the level of disrespect and it saddens
no
me.
No kidding.
Because this is
no
the
kidding.
Youth. That are coming up in this particular, I hope this is not indicative of an across-the-country movement, because Gen X doesn't, you know, I don't know.
I don't think this is Gen X. I think these are Gen Y. I think these are millennials.
It could be.
All my daughter said was, well, we're burning daylight, and she said this lady was like...
You know, You know?
Boy.
I don't have the power to write her up.
You know what? If you, sir, if you had any kind of control over this child, you wouldn't have to be relaying what she's saying.
Said that she's when the lady said she'd write her up, my daughter's now laughing.
Yeah,
yeah, and you know what?
She finds folly in this, and so does the principal. And I think that what's really sad is that the school overreached and brought a private citizen in. What happens in your home,
that's
sir,
right,
is your business, and the school
right,
has no jurisdiction there.
My daughter just left me a notice. This lady is disgusting. Ha, ha, ha. I'm only kidding.
Well, I'm
you know,
a child of God,
we're passing
and I
notes
believe
now.
In God, and I'm sad that she
it
takes that stand with you, sir, because you're the parent.
She wants to know if you're good-looking.
Oh, boy. All right, don't answer that either, Sharon. I got to go. I don't have to go. We got to take a break sooner or later. 877.
Well, she's insisting. She wants to know if Sharon's good-looking.
Well, she's not going to get the answer to that. 877-876-7445, Phil Henry Show. We're here with Stephen Bozell on what should be a very good day in America as we talk about the final just desserts for a mass murderer, a man that changed really the course of history in this country for the worse, although perhaps if it brings us together as a nation, makes us smarter and better as a country, who knows? Here is Tyler in North Carolina. Tyler, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Stephen Bozell. Go ahead, please.
Hey there. I'm having a hard time believing this is even really happening. I'm a college student in North Carolina, and I'm not going to
talk about that.
Okay, you're going to talk to me, Mr. Bozell, and my caller, please. Go ahead, sir. Tyler, go ahead.
That way toward my parents, my family, I would get my butt kicked, and you know that's taught me to see, I mean, she has complete control over him right now.
No, my daughter does not have control over me. It's that I agree with my daughter insofar as she and the other students have said to me that real global citizenship is what we're talking about. And when you are celebrating the murder,
define global citizenship.
The murder? What do you mean the murder of a man? This guy was executed in this man was a fugitive. A
define
fugitive
global
from
citizenship.
Justice.
What's that, sir?
Define global citizenship.
Being a global citizen means you are now a citizen of the nation of the globe. And so am I going to kick my heels up and go, yay, if an American got killed and everything? No. So why would I do that then if a globe, the global...
If this man was allowed to exist,
to
persist about his terroristic ways... You have to understand that not only has he already killed thousands of people, but he's going to continue to kill thousands of people. And why is it wrong to celebrate that the thousands of people that would have died had he not been killed will be alive tomorrow and continue to live and live their lives to the fullest?
It's wrong.
Why is it bad to celebrate the lives of the people who will not be killed because he is no longer on Earth?
It's wrong to kill... I can't read it. It's wrong to kill this...
Well, don't read something that someone's written for you, okay?
Well, God.
Have an opinion for yourself. Don't sit here and try not to piss off the teacher.
I'm not trying to... I want to talk good about it. I want to talk good about it myself. And it's wrong to kill a person like... It's wrong not to kill, but it's wrong to go yay and celebrate a man when he takes a bullet right through the eye? Yeah, sure. If you ever saw The Godfather and you saw the scene where Mo Green took a bullet in the eye, am I supposed to stand up and go, yay?
Godfather.
If that man had ever represented anything positive toward humanity or the global environment whatsoever, then you might be able to feel a pang of sadness. But the fact that he had been nothing but
take the pole out of your butt, so I'm sorry.
What's that?
My daughter for this man to take the pole. My daughter said for this man to take the pole out of his butt.
You know something?
12 years old. What does she know about anything?
All right, Tyler, I got to take a break.
All right, thanks.
Our number.
Well, that's what she wrote.
And the fact that you read it makes you. I don't even think we could call you father anymore. 877-876-PHIL.
Well, she wrote down this guy should take the pole out of his. She said ass.
All right. Thank you very much. 877-876-PHIL as we talk here with Stephen Bozell about his daughter, her school, and the fact that this man, along with all of us, celebrated the death of Osama bin Laden yesterday, but his daughter and her schoolmates, he was called into the school and told to correct his behavior, that it was not right to celebrate the death of a man, and he was called on the carpet in front of 12-year-olds. 877-876-7445. Just a few more minutes with Mr. Stephen Bozell of Corona, California. This man alone, in a world of celebration, he is not allowed to. Next hour, our News Hour with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard, News and Commentary Hour here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Pull out of your rear end. Do you have one there?
Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show as we talk with Mr. Stephen Bozell from Corona, California. During the break, Mr. Bozell, you told me that you were scared. Is that what you told me, sir?
I'm a little concerned about I've said to you, sir, that I love my country, and I did celebrate Osama bin Laden, but I was wrong about it, and I would ask you, and I'd ask your callers to not do anything that would incite the school or incite my daughter or members of that particular class, the young man Bradley, in particular, if he's incited. I don't have it on first account, but I'm told that this... Oh, God.
That he what?
I don't know if I should tell you what this Bradley boy is capable of.
What has he done, sir?
I don't know that he's done anything. I have heard stories.
What stories have you heard, sir?
I'd rather not get into it now, because I talk to you off the air.
You'll talk to me off the air what this boy Bradley is capable of. Those were your words.
That was what I heard, yeah.
And you are afraid of this? You're afraid of it, aren't you?
Yes, sir, I am, to a degree, and yet I want my daughter to be proud of me, too.
Let me take a phone call, and I want you to hang on the line after we end this segment. 877-876-7445. Here is Kevin in Yakima, Washington. Kevin, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Steve Bozell. Go ahead, please.
Hi. Well, I've been listening to this for quite a while now, and I was originally going to start talking about your right to fly the American flag, but I think that's the smallest part of this conversation. I'm an ex-military. I'm currently serving in law enforcement since the early 80s, and I've seen the power that kids have gotten. I think you as a father, and your last comment about you being scared to death of this kid, Bradley, in this class.
Bradley, yes, sir.
Speaks a lot to your fear, your wishy-washiness. You are the parent of this child. I have a 14-year-old and a 10-year-old at home that understands, and we have a very open relationship. We talk about everything. But when you start bending to the will of a 12-year-old, and not act, and then letting your daughter act the way she is on that phone, I quite frankly am shocked.
Well, I don't know.
And
my
I'm concerned about your well-being.
Bending
not
the will
about
of Bradley,
hers,
though.
About yours.
Yes, sir, I understand that.
This is a very good point that this gentleman's making.
Well, but to bend to Bradley's will, I'm just trying to make everybody happy. If Bradley has instructed me, what would you do, sir?
Me, for one,
if you have instructions from Bradley,
would I let them take the American flag down, and there would have been police called if one of those kids would have touched my flag. That would have been pure and simple, and then I would have went to the class and spoke my exact mind and been done with it.
What about Bradley's will, his willpower?
What about Bradley's will? Who's Bradley? He's a 12-year-old punk.
Exactly.
But the kid... You don't understand. I'm saying, would you bend to his will?
No, I would not bend to his will.
Well, you're a better man than me.
Well, I think we finally got to something. Yes, he is. And Mr. Bozell, hang on the line, because I want to find out about this, what you're afraid of.
You don't understand. If I talk to you...
You're going to talk to me. We'll be back. Phil Henry Show.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
There's a great sense of satisfaction and relief.
This idea of disposing the body within 24 hours.
There are times when my paralegal and I sit in this office and laugh because people are stupid.
There's a great sense of satisfaction.
He claimed that he was going to cook the cat.
World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch and where we go through the looking glass every night to places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't, they won't, and they shan't. And we were at the Saturday night, we were at the World Radio Summit Is Talent Necessary Seminar.
Hey. What is that about?
Well, it actually was a very cool panel that I was on with Rick Dees, and I was on it with Dr. Drew, and I was on it with Big Boy from Power 106 here in Los Angeles, and some other chaps, good guys, Randy Lane, former program director here in L.A., and it was an interesting panel because it was about, basically, do we need talent in radio anymore? The question is a weird one, you know.
Yeah, but what they talk about, need talent.
Well, it was a cleverly worded question that I think probably didn't get what they wanted. You know, I think that where they wanted to go was this: where are we going to develop the new radio talent? And I just had a good time because Rick Dees is a guy who's known to a national audience, and Rick's had his ups, he's had his downs, he's been all around. He's a nice guy, man. And one of the things he said to me. You know me, man. If anybody's ever heard any of my pre-show or my post-show comments here on the video feed, we're on Phil TV in high-definition television, and if you will go to our website tonight or any night, you can pick up our best of Phil Hendry CDs, you get our shot glass, you can get our merchandise and our Phil Hendry Show t-shirts, and I don't feel that bad talking about it because Dees at this thing was throwing t-shirts out into the crowd. Anyway.
You're throwing away Rick Dees t-shirts? You get me one?
No, I didn't get you one. But he said, you know, Phil, now don't be down on management, man. Don't beat up on management because those guys, they got their hands full with the talent. And I learned, you know, we can all be big heroes and say, boy, these guys are screwing us. But you know something? The guy was right, man. Don't be so freaking negative on the cats that, you know, are paying the bills because whether they're right or whether they're wrong, you know, they're struggling along, and 9 times out of 10, maybe you can help them. If you can't, then, you know, you move on. But don't, so I thought it was pretty interesting. And then Big Boy, same thing, you know. And there's a guy, and when they call him Big Boy, I ain't kidding. A lot of you guys don't know that Big Boy was 300 pounds at one time, and this cat was down to, I mean, he's skinnier than me.
Man, wow. Are you kidding me, man? Big Boy now, you're the Big Boy.
Now I'm Big Boy, yeah. But anyway, he said, always treat people good, always be a good person. He said, because you know something? He said that if I had not been a good person, when I got the call to come in and do an air shift, I got that call because the Baker boys who were doing the morning show at the time, they recommended that they call me. And if I hadn't been a good guy, they never would have recommended me for the gig, you know? And I heard that, and I think I learned more than the people that were in the audience to hear the panel, you know?
Well, you probably taughted them something, too.
Taughted? But, you know, remind me, man, to send you back to school, okay?
Or teached.
Teached, yeah. I don't know, whatever, I'm not even interested, because I had more fun at this panel listening to my fellow, panel-type guys. And Dr. Drew, the thing that I liked about him is that he's rich. Now then. So I want to learn how he did that, man. Dr. Drew, that cat is kicking ass, man. That guy's got a production company. He's got more things going on. That dude is definitely, he's smart, man. He's smart. And he said, you know, I know a lot of people say, is radio going away? Can you believe that people are having this conversation, folks? Is radio going away? Can you believe that people are in our business? And of course, and Dr. Drew there, Drew Pinsky, saying, no, it ain't going away. You know?
You know, he's just a doctor, man. What do you know about it?
Well, he's been around a long time. He's been around 20 years, 20 plus years in the business. They asked each one of us how many years, and the only guy that had more years than me was D's. And
how many years did he have? Did anybody ask him how many specific years?
I'm not going to say. Let me just say that me and Rick had the most years, and then I'll tell you, it was me and Rick, and then I think it was like Dr. Drew was next, and then Big Boy, 17 years, I think he said he's been over there. Only one gig. And anyway, it was a lot of fun, and I was very, very grateful that I was invited. If you guys want to see, they actually have the interview, I think, posted on the website of World Radio Summit. You can go check it out, but it was a very illuminating experience for me. And like I say, if Deez is there throwing his T-shirts to the crowd, well, then I can tell you that we have our T-shirts available at philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. We gave one away, though, today. We gave away a T-shirt on Twitter to a listener, a cat who came up with the correct answer to this question. What Henny Youngman famous line were also the last words spoken by Osama bin Laden?
I don't know who Henny Youngman is.
Yeah, I don't need that. That's not fair to like the young people.
Well, it's pretty famous, man. It's pretty famous. What Henny Youngman famous line were also the last words spoken by Osama bin Laden? I'll give you a chance to think about that. World famous Phil Henry Show, but our website again, philhenryshow.com. So, bin Laden's death, a good day for America. We were sitting here in the studio last night and I saw, watching Fox and CNN, generally I have it on both the big news channels, and I saw this little cry on that said, President to speak soon, and I turned the sound up and said, what the hell is this? You know, I was just doing some work here, answering email, and, oh, the President's going to speak soon, President's going to speak soon. He's got some stuff, what's going on? And the next thing you know, boom, it pops up there, Osama bin Laden is dead. And I'm like, you got to be putting me on, man.
I know, man, I've the same thing I thought. That they'd never get this guy, and I seen that, and I knew that it had to be true, you know, but I couldn't, you know.
Yeah, well, when I saw that, I thought there was definitely a joke. I thought it was probably Comedy Central or something, you know.
Well, what channel were you watching?
I don't know. I just saw it say, bin Laden is dead, and I go, yeah, that's probably Comedy Central.
Were you watching Comedy Central?
I don't think so, but I thought maybe it was.
Well, what, you don't think so? Did somebody change the channel?
Yeah, well, how do you know it's Comedy Central, man, if you're not watching Comedy Central?
Because I thought maybe Comedy Central would did it over or something.
Comedy Central took over what? Nonetheless, you finally believe it?
No, I thought it was Comedy Central. Then I went on and I went over to Bloomberg Report. And then it said it.
Bloomberg Report. Boy, you...
Well, I'm not watching the news.
Anyway, so where'd you see it, Robert?
That's all like on CNN or something like that.
Yeah, me too. I saw it on CNN, and then I saw it on Fox, and then Bloomberg Report. Anyway, I looked at that, and I said, you got to be putting me on. And then I heard that it was done by Americans, and then I heard that they extracted the body. In other words, just like I said at the beginning of last hour, everything that you would really want to have happen, with the exception of maybe taking the guy alive, but, you know, a lot of people have been talking to me, including Rance. What do you guys think about taking him alive?
What do you mean? Did they take him alive?
No. What do you think about it?
Oh, that would have been great to waterboard him.
I don't think so.
Me neither.
I don't think that would take him alive, man. That means now we got to take his ass to Gitmo? No way, no way, no way.
And that would have been bitching to waterboard him.
You know what would have happened, man? We would have waterboarded that piece of crap, and somebody would have been squirting tears for that guy. Just like these cats... Michael Moore is such an exhibitionist and such an egotistical narcissist that with the focus off of him, you know, and this is what I mean when we talk about locking arms and marching over the soft heads of these people that want to grab us by the short and blankety blanks and pull us into the past like a Michael Moore. That guy is such a narcissist that it's got to be about him morning, noon, and night. And so on his Twitter feed, because everybody was paying attention to the SEALs, everybody was paying attention to our military, everybody was paying attention to John Brennan, who was the counterterrorism advisor, who gave a fantastic press conference this morning. I don't know if you guys saw it or not.
I saw part of it, yeah.
Well, I thought it was fantastic. He gave us a tremendous look inside the what they call the Situation Room. Is that what they call it? Or is that what CNN calls it?
That's what CNN calls their news show.
Well, whatever the hell they call a room that the president's in. And he was very, very descriptive. They said, "Well, could you give us an idea?" He said, "Minutes were like hours." He said, "Minutes were like days." I think he said, "They just dragged on." He said, "When we heard that first chopper was down, the tension in that room was so thick, and it was so palatable, palpable." And he said the president didn't relax until they finally confirmed. First of all, they confirmed the identity of Geronimo. That was the code name.
What do they call him?
Geronimo.
They're going to get in trouble with the Indians and everything. That's pretty funny.
Shut up, man.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, they'll get in, the Native Americans will be mad.
Anyway, bud, you're full of crap. So as soon as they confirmed that they had Geronimo, then they had the extraction of Geronimo's, then they killed his ass, and then they extracted his body. Now, I wonder if we're going to see any of this. Do you think we'll actually see this?
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, it looked to me, when I saw those photographs from the Situation Room, from the area where the president and his advisors were watching this thing, it looked to me like they were watching a video of something.
Yeah, the guy probably had a video camera on his helmet.
Whatever, bud. We don't know that.
Yeah, we don't know, man.
Well, what are they looking at?
Well, there's no question there might have been some kind of a camera that allowed the people there in the White House to, they were in the office wing of the White House, to look at what was going on. But my question is, I wonder if we're ever going to see this stuff,
Oh, yeah. Man, I don't know, man. Have we ever seen any other stuff?
Yeah, we have. We did part of the time.
Well, we did see, like, the smart bomb stuff from the Gulf. But we've never seen any heavy-ass stuff, man. We still haven't seen, except for individual photographs of how they got, like, that dude. Remember that? Who was the Al-Qaeda guy in Iraq? That real piece of crap.
Oh, yeah, the guy that cut people's head off.
Exactly. When they dropped a freaking bunker buster on his ass, that was the greatest thing in the world. And they said that the last thing that piece of garbage saw, and the last thing that Bin Laden saw, and this is the thing that makes me feel better than anything, the last thing both of those guys saw was an American soldier pointing a weapon at them. And in the case of that guy that got the bunker buster on his ass, they didn't have to shoot him because he was already in about five different pieces, but I think the head was still alive,
What are you talking about?
He was. The guy was staring. They say he tried to roll off of the cot or something.
Was it the head?
No, it wasn't just a head, but I mean, the guy was pretty messed up. So he tried to get away, but he couldn't move, and he was dead. So, but the last thing he saw, and the reason why he tried to get away, he's looking at American soldiers staring down at him, probably smiling at him like, "Hey, how you doing, man? Good morning, sunshine." Same thing with that guy, Hussein, and the same thing with good old Bin, man. Last thing he saw was a Yank. Oh, yeah! That's right, man.
Long arm of the Yank, man.
That's the long arm of the Yank. It's gonna yank it. All right, we'll be back with more of this here on the Phil Henry Show. Osama bin Laden is dead, and he's getting deader by the second. He's dead, and he's turned into fish food now. And we'll have other stories, too. Facebook being used in divorce cases. One lawyer says 90% of her cases involve social media. Are you ready for that one? The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. For patriots, by patriots, it's the Phil Henry Show.
And I want to get to a little bit of this audio that perhaps we haven't played. John Brennan, I thought, as I said, John Brennan gave a pretty good press conference today, and it was as I said, it was very descriptive of what was happening inside the Situation Room that those guys were parked in. Here is buried at Sears, John. I don't understand how you did this, man. I really don't. I don't know what this is about, man. Oh, here. John Brennan talking about bin Laden being dead. Counterterrorism advisor. He spoke to reporters today. He describes bin Laden's last moments before being killed.
He was engaged in a firefight with those that entered the area of the house that he was in. And whether or not he got off any rounds, I quite frankly don't know. Here is bin Laden, who has been calling for these attacks, living in this million-dollar-plus compound, living in an area that is far removed from the front, hiding behind women who were put in front of him as a shield. I think it really just speaks to just how false his narrative has been over the years. And so, again, looking at what bin Laden was doing, hiding there while he's putting other people out there to carry out attacks, again, just speaks to, I think, the nature of the individual he was.
That's a great, great series of comments. How false his narrative has been over the years. There he is at the very bitter end, hiding behind a woman. It was his wife, and perhaps she put herself in front of him. But the fact is, bin Laden should have known that this day was going to come. He should have known that his family would be compromised if and when. And it should have been, in his mind, when. How that guy would have his family around him. Children were there. I mean, you know, Moore, you and Penn Jillette and the rest of you fat asses, and your and talk about a predictable narrative. When are you guys ever going to see the nature of the individual, of the person, of the being, of the society, of the culture, of the system of thought, of the belief, of the religion that we're up against? This entity called bad, no good. No. You know, these are bad people, man. When are you ever going to see that? All cats like you can do is sit on your ever-widening bratwurst packed ass and find fault with a country that there's none better. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of stuff we should get around to correcting. I agree with you, man. But you're like the guy that, you know, is sitting down. First of all, you're a fat ass, Moore. You can relate to this. You're like some big fat slob, which is what you are, sitting down to the most perfectly barbecued steak that you could ever possibly imagine, and you're bitching about the fact that, you know, the garlic bread is a little bit cooled off. I mean, that's what you do. So if one of these days you and people like you could open your eyes and you would look and you would see the nature of what it is we're up against, and cats like you think there's some magic wand that we can wave over a guy like bin Laden and make him a good guy, or there's a magic wand that we can wave and deal with people that hide behind women, deal with people that have children around, deal with people that are will do anything and everything to protect themselves, including live in a compound, so to speak, with women and children. What you guys do is you make excuses. Well, isn't the guy, doesn't he have the right to live with his family? Doesn't he have a right to have his wife? If you're a man, if you're any kind of a man, and you know there's a bounty on your head, and you know that the Americans want you, and they want you real bad, and you know that lieutenants of yours have been killed, you know that supporters of yours have been killed, you know that your organization has been decimated, you know that you are in a fight for your life, you're a fugitive, and you are there with your wife and your children, and don't give me this bull crap like it's some TV movie where they didn't want to leave me, they wanted to stay by my side, my ass. And you are there with a wife and children, and you're no better than that other scumbag. Who was that guy down in Texas?
What? What are you talking about?
The guy in, what is it, Waco?
Yeah, David Koresh.
No better than that guy. That scumbag hid behind women, too. You know, that scumbag hid behind women, too. He could have sent them out of that compound. He could have sent those kids out of there. They didn't have to die. You don't give me this bull crap about how they didn't want to leave. You kick their ass out the front door, or you tell the cops they don't want to leave. Somebody come in and get them. Something. So that was a very good series of comments that Mr. Brennan gave. I would love to play a few more of those. We do have some comments from him in terms of the buried at sea thing. He did not want to reveal details about what types of visuals we had or what type of feeds that were coming in, but He gave. He said that they did have the ability to actually track it on an ongoing basis. Typically, members of the Navy SEAL team that conducted the operation wear helmet cameras to transmit sound and video to their operations centers, and that data can be fed live to the White House and the Pentagon. So that's what they had. They had helmet cameras.
Yeah, like a helmet cam?
Yeah, that's what I said, bud. A helmet. God, man.
What do you think he said?
A helmet cam.
Yes, a helmet cam.
Like in football.
Right, like in football, only more... Like in football, only we ain't playing around. So, there you go. All right, coming up, we have more on this and other stories. The 10 most useless college majors, plus Facebook, is a place where more and more divorce lawyers find themselves mucking about. And details of Quentin Tarantino's next film are leaked. Sounds like a really good movie. It's got our favorite actor from Inglourious Basterds in it, too, at least mine. World-famous Phil Henry Show. Don't forget, philhenryshow.com for our archives, uncensored HDTV merchandise. It's all there, philhenryshow.com.
Phil Henry. Radio for Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that goes where other talk shows wish they could, but it can't. Walking across the soft head of liberals, progressives, the secular humanists and all that, man. This is a radio show that, well, it's a radio show. Unlike anything else on the radio, this is a radio show. All the other things you hear on the radio is just noise coming out of your radio. This here is a radio show. Now...
But you ready to show anybody else?
Whatever that means. Here's the thing. The other big topic was they buried his ass at sea. Big deal. So they threw his ass in, and that's where that's at, and that's the way it's going to be. What else were they going to do with his body? Were they going to prop it up and take pictures of it? Were they going to have a guided tour so you could people could walk through? They used to do that back in the 30s. They'd have a guy on a slab, and people could go through for a nickel. That's what they did to John Dillinger. They laid his ass out on a slab, and people in the town could come through and look at his body. They did that with Bonnie and Clyde. They laid him out on a slab, and people were able to go and look and see the bodies. Well, we don't do that anymore. And quite frankly, my understanding is Bin Laden's body is in no real shape to just be viewed. I think half of his face is missing. He's probably got brains running out one side. Who knows? You know, it's probably not a very pleasant sight. And so what they've decided to do is they decided to wrap his ass up, give him the Muslim blessing, and throw his ass into the ocean for crab meat, crab bait, you know. Now, some people thought, and my initial reaction was, that's going to suck because now you're going to have conspiracy theorists. And I think that a lot of people, especially the initial reaction that I saw was one of just, wow, do you realize what's going to happen? But the more I heard the reasoning, and I heard Colin Powell today interviewed, and he said, believe me when I tell you, before this is over with, there's not going to be any doubt that this was Osama bin Laden's body. Now, some people will never be happy. Some people, even if you showed them the body, would say it was a fake body. They'd say it was a body double. They'd say that it isn't the real guy, that the real Osama bin Laden, just like the real Jim Morrison, the real Elvis Presley, the real Amelia Earhart, the real John Kennedy, and the real whoever, all those guys that died, working for Bill Clinton.
Bill Clinton?
Yeah, there's a couple of guys that got croaked when they worked for Bill Clinton, but oh no, he's someplace else. You know, all those guys are in the same room playing gin rummy. So some people are just going to be mentally disturbed that way. Why did they do this? Well, there was a Muslim tradition that called for the burial of the body within 24 hours. Why were we sensitive to that? Well, I think that's got President Obama's signature all over it. I think this is the kind of president that he wants to be. And I think that this is the kind of America that he wants to express to the world. And okay, or fine, I don't really care personally, so long as we do not have to deal with any more truther or birther stuff. Now, before the show...
You're talking about him before the show. Nobody's going to believe it anyway.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, well, no, he meant that you said that nobody's into Bertha stuff.
No, that's what I was going to say. Since 9/11, we've been up to our eyeballs in birthers, truthers, yo mamas, and everything. And I think we've gotten, this is my read on this, and I think I'm right. I think we've gotten a little hipper than we were back in those days. And I think we now look at those people for what they are. They are opportunistic. They want to sell books. They want to sell CDs. They don't really have anything to say. They're not very intellectually honest. In fact, they're dishonest. They are people that eventually wind up infighting with each other because there's a certain group of them that really do want the truth. And when they find the truth, they split from the rest of them. The rest of them call them, you know, sellouts and sheep and all those code words that they like to use there in the conspiracy world. And if you believe the government, you're sheep. All right. But I don't think that we're in any mood for you jackasses anymore. And here's what I mean by that. If you doubt that Osama bin Laden is dead, then you better go out and find your own evidence and not bore us any longer with your questions. Because your questions are not honest. And even if we came up with all the greatest answers in the world, you still aren't going to believe them. Take a look at the 9/11 truth bastards. You could give them all the answers in the world. You could give them the science, which they've been given, all the straight answers, which they've been given, all of the logical conclusions, which they've been given, all of, and even point out to them where their own analysis has been laughably bad, which has been done, and they still ain't going to believe you. Why? Because they got a worldview, man, that they're addicted to, and that is what makes their little world go around. So, fine. So, as far as this guy, bin Laden, it wouldn't matter if we had the body or not. Did we need it? No. Did we get the DNA, make the DNA match? Yes. And if bin Laden was not captured and killed, don't you think it would be a logical thing for bin Laden himself to go on TV and say, "Hi, they didn't get me. It's bullcrap." And then enters the next theory that was formulated by the 9/11 truthers, just in case that happened, which is we kill bin Laden, and you know, and that's the end of that. Then the truthers say this: he's in hiding. He works for the CIA anyway. Or if bin Laden said, "Hi, it's me," well, you know, he's in cahoots with the CIA anyway. So there's no answer to this question, and I think they did the right thing, dropped his ass in a drink. But it got some people kind of freaking there for a while. Why were we talking about this?
I don't know.
Was there? Oh, I know. Because we had some more audio to play for you. Ha, 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 ha. Here is John Brennan at his press conference today, at the press conference that John Brennan gave with the assembled media on the burial at sea.
The disposal of the burial of bin Laden's remains was done in strict conformance with Islamic precepts and practices. It was prepared in accordance with the Islamic requirements. We early on made provisions for that type of burial, and we wanted to make sure that it was going to be done, again, in strict conformance. So it was taken care of in the appropriate way. I'm not going to go into details about sort of the where, but that burial has taken place. It took place earlier today.
Another one.
There is the requirement in Islamic law that an individual be buried within 24 hours. Went inside of Pakistan, carried out the operation. He was killed. He was removed from Pakistan. There were certain steps that had to be taken because of the nature of the operation. We wanted to make sure we were able to do that in the time period allotted for it. Going to another country, making those arrangements, requirements, would have exceeded that time period in our view. And so therefore we thought that the best way to ensure that his body was given an appropriate Islamic burial was to take those actions that would allow us to do that burial at sea.
So they took a lot of time with this burial at sea for a Muslim, and I got to say that that's got to be President Obama's signature. That's his stamp on that. Okay, you know, I'll give it to the president, or, you know. Now, let's talk about Obama, man, because this is a very important topic. I'm a conservative. I'm not an idiot. I'm a conservative. I'm not self-deluded. I'm a conservative. I'm not inflexible. And I'm not someone that wants to stay in fantasy land. Okay? I mean, other people can be stupid if they want to. That ain't me. And it doesn't mean that I'm less of a conservative when I look at Obama and I say the following thing. That guy just earned his commander-in-chief stripes. Don't even worry about it. If you don't think so, you better get your head straight, because yes, he did. Because what you think or what I think or what the rest of the conservative movement may think or Republicans doesn't make any difference. The country believes that Obama is now the commander-in-chief. And if you want to be honest about it, which is what I'm hoping we can be here, he earned his commander-in-chief stripes with flying colors. Now, you know as well as I do that this guy came into the presidency without too much respect in terms of that aspect of the job, commander-in-chief. In fact, he came into the presidency without too much respect at all about anything. There was a great deal said about his lack of military experience. Now, this is one of the all-time fallacies when it comes to presidents. I know this because I'm a student of history, and I'm also a student of the presidency. And we've had many presidents that were not military veterans, combat veterans, or veterans of any military service, and yet made perfectly fine presidents and perfectly fine commanders-in-chief. So this was always a bunch of hooey. But how is Bin Laden going to, or excuse me, how is Osama?
You're going to blow it, man. Everybody's doing the same thing, and you're doing it too.
Yeah, man, why don't you concentrate, man? Bear down.
Bear down? I'd have belt you for saying that.
Come on, man.
All right, I'm sorry. I was just talking to the guys at the late hour, you know.
Yeah, well, man, this is your airship, man.
All right, sorry. I mean Obama. Barack Obama.
Yeah, well, it's too late now.
That's right, it's too late now. Somebody thinks I'm talking about Osama bin Laden, President of the United States. Is that it? Barack Obama is the Commander-in-Chief by virtue of this operation today. And what do I mean by that? Of course, he was always the Commander-in-Chief. There's no, you know. But in the minds of the American people, this was a move, as John Brennan said, and I think that it can be backed up as such, a gutsy move. And what did he mean by gutsy? He meant the following thing. There were a million and one things that could have gone wrong. And they keep talking about the desert of Iran in 1980. Many of you are too young to even know what the hell it is I'm talking about. But when the American diplomats in Tehran were taken hostage and they were held for well over a year by Iranian militants in the U.S. Embassy, they had guns put to their heads. There were mock executions. I mean, this was a real scum that held these people hostage. The United States mounted a rescue effort, and I think that it was probably modeled on the fact that a few years before the Israelis had rescued their citizens, passengers of an Air France jet from Entebbe Airport in Uganda. The Israeli forces, the IDF guys, went down in a couple of troop transports. They had with them as well a limousine that was made up to look like Idi Amin, who was the strongman of Uganda at the time. They also had jeeps with machine guns mounted. And, of course, the soldiers themselves were experienced special forces soldiers of the Israeli army. And as these large transports landed, out came this limousine flying the flag of Uganda. And it was the Ugandan soldiers who saw this limousine, familiar with the fact that Idi Amin would land at Entebbe Airport at the weirdest times of the day or night. So they were always used to seeing him show up just any time. But in this limousine, on this particular night, it was not Idi Amin. They were Special Forces Israeli soldiers, one of whom was dressed exactly like Idi Amin would be. He was in a military uniform, wearing the military epaulets and the jacket. He was wearing a black ski mask. The car was dark. And as they pulled up and gave a salute, the Ugandan soldiers gave a salute to the limousine as it pulled up. They opened fire on these Ugandan soldiers, and thus began one of the most famous rescue operations in history, the raid on Entebbe. And this, I'm sure, was in the mind of Jimmy Carter the night that he first sat down with his security advisors and they advised some kind of a rescue mission. The one that we mounted for the hostages in Tehran was a disaster. It was a disaster. It was a human disaster. It was a political disaster for Carter. It was but out of the ashes of that came Delta Force. And We realized after that that we needed a special forces kind of a soldier who trained in this kind of operation morning, noon, and night. This is all he ever did. This is all he ever thought about. This is all he ever... He ate, slept, and crapped this kind of stuff. And when we tapped him on the shoulder and said, okay, Charlie, time for you to go, they sprung into action, and this is what they do. We didn't have that. We had Green Berets who were jungle fighters, and they were combat soldiers, and they weren't special forces guys. So, and we'd had commandos, we'd had Merrill's Marauders, we'd had all manner of different kinds. We had special forces kinds of soldiers that went in and rescued POWs in World War II. And we had the airborne guys, 101st, the 82nd. They called these guys the Army of One. Each individual soldier was trained to just go into attack, even if he was by himself. But we never had guys that were trained to scale buildings and go through windows, blow people away and extract hostages or rescue people, or for that matter, take out somebody. And Delta Force came of that disaster in the desert in Iran. So that's the story of that, man. Where was I going?
I don't know. It's pretty bitching, though. Do they got no book about that or anything like that?
They might have a book. Do they have a book about that, Robert?
I'm going to look it up, man. I don't.
They have a book about the aborted rescue operation, 1980, the spring of 1980. It was horrible, and there were terrible dust storms, and the choppers, one of them crashed into the other. It burst into flames. The soldiers were killed. The remains of our soldiers were desecrated by the Iranians. I mean, this is not even a world that we operate in. And the other soldiers that survived got into the chopper and got the hell out of there. They had to abort the mission. I mean, it was just horrendous. And that was the end for Jimmy Carter. That was the bitter end. There was no way he would ever be president for a second term. All right, 877-876-PHIL. 10 most useless college majors coming up. And Facebook. And Michael Moore. What was he upset about? What a drag this cat is, man. We'll talk about it when we come back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. PhilHenryShow.com for a backstage pass, live streaming video, as well as our merchandise, as well as our podcast, as well as the largest archive of any single radio show in the world, PhilHenryShow.com.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. For patriots, by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show.
World famous Phil Henry Show. By the way, I just want to say one thing. There was a story here about Obama's poll numbers, and it's something along the lines of, is the bounce going to be short-lived? Meaning the bounce that he gets in the polls. The Bin Laden bounce may be short-lived. Now, I don't know about poll bounces, but this is what I was trying to say, and I didn't do it very well. This has Obama now has some real credibility. Not that he should ever have had to have proven this, because the cat was elected president, I suppose. But in the minds of a lot of Americans, you know, every president has to go through his baptism of fire somewhere along the line. Joe Biden, of course, said, "You mark my words." Within 1 year, you know, Joe, thank goodness somebody put a muzzle on your ass. But, frankly, this wasn't something that anybody decided they would do to test Obama. This was just it was a moment, and, he rose to the occasion. So the whole point that I'm trying to make here is the guy is now more substantial. Don't worry about it. Now, the economy, important, yes. But no one sees this dude now as someone that's on somebody else's leash. No one sees this guy now as someone that people are leading around by the nose. This guy made a call, one of the biggest in the history of this country, in protecting this country, to be honest with you, and it was the right call, and you cannot deny that. You can be stupid and deny it. You can dislike Obama so much that you want to discount it, but that's your problem, not Obama's. So think about that one. All right. Facebook being used in divorce cases. One lawyer says 90% of her cases involve social media. She says this is the greatest thing that's happened to me since the ballpoint pen. Facebook and other social media sites. She didn't say that. I added that, but it seems appropriate.
Yeah.
Facebook and other social media sites are increasingly being used in divorce cases, as users often post pictures and information about themselves online. That can easily be used during divorce proceedings. What an idiot! In fact, one St. Petersburg attorney, Karen Constantine, says Facebook and social media are used in 90% of all her divorce cases. St. Petersburg attorney Karen Constantine.
There are times when my paralegal and I sit in this office and laugh because people are stupid. They put things out there on the internet that can last forever. Everything from clients coming in with pictures of the opposing party doing a keg stand with high schoolers.
What?
And shouldn't be. To teenagers drinking alcohol served by a parent who shouldn't be. To a picture of a husband at a nightclub dancing with a babysitter. I would say about 90% of my current divorce cases have some type of Facebook involvement.
All right, well, I was going to read about Michael Moore, but you know what? I want to end this show on a high note, and Michael, he's going to be okay, man. He's got his Twitter feed. World-famous Phil Henry Show, produced by Jason Rantz. Technical director is tonight it's Don Naylor. Thank you, Don. And Dan Northcraft is our associate producer. PhilHenryShow.com for all of your Phil Henry Show needs.
Phil Henry.